I saw an article that appeared not too long ago. I was looking online, and it intrigued me because it was taking the word wearable, removing the first letter, and talking about earables, the next big thing. I had to follow that up. And with me right now is Jack Walland, who is the author of that article, Earables, the Next Big Thing. Jack, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Jack, I'm first of all fascinated by this and how you as a, I mean, normally you're a, if I'm right, you are an author and
yes.
You are a horror genre author. How in the world did you get into this?
Well, to be honest, I have been both a tech journalist and an author of kind of what I call dark, twisty fiction for about 20 years. I was an actor for 20 years, and it was kind of a natural progression. I took all of my training as an actor and mm-hmm. kind of twisted it around and turned it into a writing profession.
Pardon the
and,
pun.
And it just made perfect sense to me. And while I was doing that, to make a long story short, I realized that the Windows operating system just wasn't for me. I had nothing but problems with it, so I went out and searched for an alternative, and I came across the Linux operating system.
Uh-huh.
I taught myself that, and I started using it full-time. In the process, I realized that I had a bit of knowledge that not a lot of people had, so I started writing about it.
Uh-huh.
And I got picked up by this company. They were fascinated by this new operating system, so I started writing about it for them, and they kind of get me around, and I've been writing for them for that long, and that's techrepublic.com.
Oh, yes.
And so they kind of branched me out. Now I write about Android, I write about mobility, mm-hmm. I write about networking and security, but mostly I tend to lean towards beyond Linux. I mostly lean towards Android and mm-hmm. Mobile technology.
Well, and this certainly is highly mobile.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
And these earables, now you say it's the next big thing, but it's really not, right? It's little. These are little.
Yeah, you're right about that. You caught me on that there. Because unless you have gigantic ears, they are pretty small.
Dumbo, perhaps, we're talking about.
Right.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. Ross Perot was in IT for a while.
That's a good point. So tell us about this, and how would you go about finding this? Does the company contact you and say, hey, would you take a look at these? Or how do you go about finding earables?
It's been kind of fascinating that a lot of companies, what's interesting about it is a lot of companies reach out to me and they say, hey, you know, if I'm being perfectly honest, they really just want the free publicity, which is fine.
Yeah.
But companies reach out to me and they say, hey, we have this new product. Would you be willing to try it?
Right.
And it kind of depends on what the product is. And I get a lot. I had written a series of articles about Bluetooth headphones, and I started getting this barrage of companies saying, hey, try out our headphones.
Ah.
But generally speaking, Bluetooth headphones are not so great.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few that rise above the top, and you know, with not only with quality and connection, but quality and sound and the ability to last and work through extremes. There are a few of them. The Dash is new by Braggy. That's a very unique platform that I think has a lot more application than just being a pair of athletic headphones. I think that it's going to, and that's kind of where I developed the term earables, because what the Dash is, it is a pair of Bluetooth headphones, but they don't have any wires.
Right.
You have one fits in your right ear, one fits in your left ear, the company was very it was fascinating how they worked their product. They initially started off both headphones connected via Bluetooth, and they discovered that there was too many drops. So they started using, I believe, a sort of electromagnetic technology to connect the left earbud to the right earbud.
Oh.
So what it does is it transmits the signal through your head.
Ooh.
And but they don't have the drops that you have with Bluetooth anymore. So you have a constant connection between the two earbuds.
Now, somebody told me that was because there's nothing in there to stop it.
I was just going
to
say, yeah.
I guess some people would probably have less connection, and some people might have more. but these aren't just earphones.
Yeah.
These are also they monitor your health. They keep your pulse and all of these other different they monitor all these different signals.
Yeah.
And so you can, you know, you go out for a run with these headphones in, and it's going to keep track of your heart rate and a bunch of other things. And you control them by tapping and touching on the earbud itself. So, you know, it's not a very huge stretch of the imagination to think that this kind of technology can then be migrated over to something like hearing aids.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I thought for a moment, though, just in terms of the athletic fitness devices, that so many of them, you know, have a problem with the sensors and how well they connect, like to the wrist or whatever it may be, or how many sensors there are to do that job. And as you're saying here, you've got this much more accurate connection to, like, the blood-brain barrier, you know, that you can temperature and EEG and EK, a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, I could see myself using this along with an Apple Watch or something where I can do the calling Dick Tracy, so you can speak into the watch, but you don't want it necessarily heard by everybody else, right? So if that's only happening in your ear, right? And then it doesn't stick to the outside. This goes kind of into the ear. So you don't even see it, really. Mm-hmm. And
I believe the Braggy might have a microphone on it as well.
Oh, really?
You know, but a lot of these products, you know, I did some testing of some bone-conducting headphones.
Oh, yeah.
And they were made by Aftershocks. And you would be really surprised at how well they work. You know, you put these, they rest against your right above your cheekbones. And now the sound of these isn't nearly as good as say the Jaybird Bluebuds, or the Braggy Dash. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about them is, especially because I'm a runner, and what I find when I'm using earbuds when I run is I can, you hear this odd kind of thumping or clicking noise when your feet hit the ground. Maybe it's your brain sloshing around, or it's just your eardrums. But you don't have that with bone conducting earphones. It's a very clean, clear sound. It just doesn't have the highs or the lows that you'll get with a more high end product.
By the way, I just want to tell people, you were listening to Jack Wallen, who is an author and has written about earables, the next big thing. We're going to post this information as well on our homepage so you can look at the article in detail. Go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry to finish your thought.
Yeah, that's okay. So, you know, it's something like with the bone-conducting headphones. You have to get used to it. Mm-hmm. But what's really nice about this, and I think it's really important for people that do a lot of running and cycling outside, is with the bone-conducting headphones, you do hear the ambient noise around you.
Yes. That's important. If you're out running, I've done this running too, you need to be aware of what's around you, because as a runner, I know there'll be times when it looked like that car just didn't see me. But
and
I heard it.
What's interesting about the Braggy Dash is that, and why I think that it has applications for hearing aids, is that you can program the Braggy Dash as to how much ambient noise you hear.
Oh.
You know, and I could see that, especially for people, like you said, for hearing loss, because, you know, my wife has a set of smart digital hearing aids. And one of the things is, like, there's going to be a point where I'm going to be able to pull out my smartphone and be able to reprogram these things on the fly to raise certain ambient noise levels or lower for conversations, because right now it's guesswork. You know, when you hold up a phone to your ear, these digital hearing aids are then supposed to recognize that there's a phone next to your ear, and they adjust the sound accordingly. Right. And like, and it sounds like the Dash is coming, is providing a lot of these features.
Yeah. Jen, I don't think this is very far off. We're going to find smart hearing aids such that you've got it connected, you know, via Bluetooth on your phone.
Right.
And say, for example, you're going to a classical music concert. You tap the classical music button on the app, and it adjusts your hearing aids to match the ambient noise necessary to hear the classical concert right. better, or if you're outdoors,
right.
or if you're on the phone.
To deal with those different atmospheres. Jack, hang on a second. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jack Wolin is our guest here. He's written about the next big thing, which is earables. And we'll continue the conversation. I want to talk about hearing aids, which we've begun to talk about, and about some of the other medical applications for these devices. Coming back on the Internet Advisor. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in studio with us here. And on the phone lines with us, I had a fascinating conversation with Jack Wolin, who is the author of an article that appeared in Tech Republic called Earables, the Next Big Thing. And we've been talking about some of the incredible things that can be done with hearing devices that are now embedded in the ears. And Kel, you had a question for Jack that you wanted to ask.
Yeah, Jack, is it the Bluetooth technology is not there? Is it too expensive? Why isn't the wireless headphones not catching on as fast as I would think they would? Because, you know, everybody wants to get off a wire one way or the other.
Well, the one thing about Bluetooth technology that and a lot of people don't understand is that what Bluetooth depends upon walls to bounce off of. So, for example, I have some Bluetooth headphones that I use in the house, and I can have my computer or whatever downstairs, and I can go upstairs for the most part and still hear them because the signal has all these places to bounce off of and still reach me.
Mm.
But you take that same technology outside, and it has nothing to bounce off of. So you've got, you know, I've got my phone in my little armband or in a pocket of my running tights. And the signal will drop sometimes. Like, I'll move my head forward and the signal drops. It's just because it has nothing to bounce off of. That's just kind of part of the technology that, you know, it's improved significantly, but it's, you know, it's still got a ways to go. But it has improved to the point where Bluetooth is now a viable technology to use in this.
So RF is out of the question because, what, the technology is too old or it takes up too much space in the phone or what?
No, the Bluetooth doesn't take up too much phone. One of the biggest problems with smartphones and Bluetooth is it taking up too much battery. So what you have to do, and I always advise people this, is always turn off Bluetooth when you're not using it. But that's the same thing with wireless, you know, when you're not using anything.
Right, exactly.
It just depends on your phone and your usage.
Cal, you mentioned something. You mentioned the word price. And here's my thought on the two things on this. Number one, I think this is going to become a much more significant issue as the boomers hit the scene, because we boomers, and I'm in that very first wave. I was born in 1946.
You know, keep on telling yourself that.
I keep. No, seriously. I mean, we're kind of coming in now. We're hitting the beach.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and we were talking about this in the break. I have some significant hearing loss. Some of that's from 40 years in radio and engineers that have put 10K tones through my ears. but the bottom line is that we are coming to this place right now where there's a whole bunch of us that are going to be demanding this hearing aid for being able to hear what's going on.
Right.
And I was telling the guys that in a restaurant right now, I have a good deal of I have a trouble hearing a conversation across the table with me because of the ambient noise around. So
yeah.
I'm going to be in line for this. My thought is that maybe the number of us that are about to hit the market or are hitting the market will begin to drive some of these prices down because some of these things cost like $2,000, $3,000.
Well, here's another thing that you have to consider. I'm a Gen Xer, so I'm a generation after you.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I think is really going to drive this is that my generation and your generation we make up the majority of the audiophiles.
Ah.
Our two generations, I mean, I was weaned on good sound.
Yes.
And one of the things that bothers me the most about listening to music is when it doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an audiophile, and I know a lot of other audiophiles. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm really, and it really does, you know, kind of scare me a little bit to know that at some point hearing loss is going to play a part in that.
Yep.
I'm not going to be able to appreciate music as I do now.
Yeah.
So it's going to, I think that's going to be a big part of that, to where our generations are going to demand not only this technology work, but sound good. We're going to want hearing aids that sound good.
Yep.
Not
yep.
just enable it.
Yeah.
And that may, I may be, you know, that people may be listening to me saying, oh my God, stop whining about, you know, wouldn't it be better just to hear? But no, our generation, we want
to hear,
to
well.
Hear and hear well.
Yeah. You know, exactly. And that's what's always irked me is when we go into the hearing doctors, they know what areas that we're deficit in. You know, you have a frequency loss between 4.5 kilohertz and 4.8, yeah. and then it's fine. And then over here, it's deficient. Wouldn't it be nice if I could program my own headsets to amplify those noises so that I can listen to the audio just as I did when I was a child when I had young ears.
I want hearing aids with EQ.
There you go.
hearing aids with EQ.
Yep.
I could not have said it more eloquently.
And there is no reason why once smart ear or smart hearing aids come out that you couldn't have an EQ on your smartphone.
Sure.
App.
Sure.
Says, too much mid range. Too much mid range in my hearing aid. I lower that.
Cal, these same earables can they be used as white noise generators as well? If I wanted to block out all the noise around me in an office,
why not?
Probably. Well, you know, you can always record a white noise MP3 and play it.
You know, I never even thought about it from that perspective.
That's true.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, Jack, one of the things that struck me, too, on this, and I think I saw you mentioning it, is the concern for our aging parents as well, that with something that's in the ear. Now, I happen to live in a building full of seniors, and a lot of them have got the pendants that they wear and buttons to push. What I thought was fascinating was the idea of having these things embedded in the ear, an earable, that because it was so close to the brain, et cetera, could be taking blood pressure,
could
see sugar, could see a whole bunch of statistics and feed that automatically or through a phone app, for instance,
exactly.
to a doctor or to a son or daughter or somebody who's concerned.
And you can even take that one step further. When my father was still alive, he wore a pacemaker. And in order for him to send the data from the pacemaker to the doctor, he had to connect this little box to a phone line and then hold this magnet up to, or not a magnet, but a flat, I don't know what it was called, something. He had to hold something up to his pacemaker, and then the box registered the pacemaker and read the data and then transmitted it via phone line, via, 36K, 6 modem, because you could hear it talking to it, to the hospital. Now, with this new technology and earables, you know, that could be fed in real time.
Mm.
So your physician, your hospital or whatever, could always know your condition. And the second they see something on your pulse, or any of those, I'm not a doctor, so I, whatever, these magical, numbers, the doctor could go, oh, we need to send somebody out to this person now, without the patient ever having to do
absolutely.
Anything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And without, intruding in their lives.
Another thing possible, too, is that if those little earables can have, like, a small gyroscope in it, if the patient was prone to falling all the time, once they fell down, their phone would transmit that they wouldn't need that, I've fallen, I've just gotten up,
right.
that sort of thing.
Well, cell phone technology already has that.
That's true.
They're called accelerometers, so that a cell phone knows, and it's especially important with games and such, a cell phone knows when your phone is horizontal, when it's, tilting in, whatever. So that technology already exists. So they could put accelerometers in an earable, and they would know if you're, they could set a schedule. They know you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, and you wake up at 7 in the morning. So when you're prone, between those times, they don't bother you. But all of a sudden, if there's
it's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's mind-boggling what we come to. Jack, we've run out of time. Unfortunately, this is absolutely fascinating. We have to have you call back, and we can talk a little bit more about some of these things as they develop. Jack Wallen has been our guest here, writer for Tech Republic, and the article is called Earables, the Next Big Thing. We're going to link to that on our homepage. Jack, thanks so much for just a great conversation here.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a delight having you. I look forward to more of your articles coming up in the near future. Take care of yourself. Thank you.